The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Are you struggling to achieve your New Year's resolutions? Well, I have in front of me a book which is not really about the new year. It's more mid to long term. Its title is Things Your Future Self Will Thank You For. And its author is Dr. Mark Rowe. Mark, good morning and welcome.
Thank you so much, Pat, for having me.
Now, will you explain the title of your book? Because it's the whole philosophy of the work.
Yes. I mean, a lot of people, Pat, look back and there's this idea, you know, what would you say to your 21-year-old self? And often it's that idea of looking back with regret at the things you should have done or could have done and so on. But the reality is, I like to think about things differently. I like to look forward and say, future you is emergent. It's emerging in every breath, every day. 5 years from now, looking back, if you were to start an exercise program now, if you were to commit to being kinder to yourself, if you were to commit to invest more in your relationships, what would future you say to yourself today?
Because okay, a simple one would be someone who, for example, has just given up smoking.
Yes.
And they're still trying to get over the cough and the tar and all the rest and maybe the shortness of breath. And 5 years ago, if they'd given up smoking, they'd be well out of the woods now.
Absolutely. But starting today by breaking that old habit, 5 years from now, your risk of heart attack will be down to that of a lifelong non-smoker. Your risk of stroke will be that of a lifelong non-smoker. Your risk of lung cancer will be significantly reduced. You'll be feeling so much better. You'll be so much more energized. You may even have a few extra bob in your pocket. So there's so many compound benefits from taking action.
Yeah, now that's a very obvious one, but there are other things. And you talk about the importance of habit. Explain that to me.
Well, in a way, Aristotle once said, you know, excellence is a habit. We make our habits and then our habits make us. And what's very interesting is perhaps about 40% of the things we do each day are not conscious decisions. They're actually habits. So you get up in the morning, you brush your teeth. You don't have to think about it. You just do it automatically. That's a very important way that the brain can conserve energy. It uses part of the brain called the basal ganglia, which is a way in which we can carry out complex movements. If we were escaping a lion thousands of years ago or whatever, we wouldn't need to have the willpower to run away and escape. We would do it automatically.
If you contemplate, say you drive to work and you're asked, can you recreate that journey for me? And you've just finished it 10 minutes ago. Mm. It would be very hard to actually remember at which traffic lights you may have stopped or where you turned or whatever, because it's so automatic at this point. Even though your brain is engaged in the doing of it.
Mm. Absolutely. You're doing it on automatic pilot. You know, Robert Frost wrote a beautiful poem, Pat, and he said, two paths diverged in a yellow wood and I took the road less travelled and it's made all the difference. And the way I see it, each and every day of our lives, we have that same choice. We can go down the health depleting path or we can go down the health enhancing path. And what's incredibly interesting is the habit energy is the same, whether it's a good habit or a bad habit. And those very small little tweaks, not major adjustments, can make a world of a difference longer term.
I mean, you mentioned brushing your teeth. If you don't brush your teeth in the morning, for example, 5 years from now, you're going to the dentist very expensively, I suspect. So even that simple thing that we all take for granted has a benefit.
It does. But the thing is, our brains are really the same as they were thousands of years ago. And they're hardwired for fear detection, for survival. And the fear of something bad happening in the future actually doesn't really act as a good incentive to make positive changes. So if somebody came in to me, Pat, you know, a classical situation, somebody has a bit of back pain, they haven't been exercising, maybe they sit down too much, maybe they're carrying a few pounds. And obviously they need treatment for the back pain. But, you know, what I'd be sort of saying is, well, imagine, Pat, 5 years from now, if you took up yoga and you have a much stronger spine, a more flexible back. Imagine what you'd say to yourself today, how proud you'd be of having had the courage to start that yoga practice. And, you know, you only have the one back, as it were. And so it's this idea of putting yourself into the future, having made the positive change and looking back, and then saying, right, now how do I begin to bridge that gap in very, very small ways that are achievable, that are realistic, that I'll enjoy, that are forward-looking, and that can make a difference?
And you use the phrase, using your lifestyle as your medicine.
Yes, I mean, this is such an old idea. I mean, you go back to someone like Hippocrates, who said, let food be your medicine, let medicine be your food. But there's incredible research now showing that perhaps 90% of all heart disease can be prevented through lifestyle changes. 80% of type 2 diabetes can be prevented through lifestyle changes. Lifestyle changes can have a significant positive impact on mood and mental health and preventing depression, even preventing memory loss and dementia as we get older. Even having a positive view of aging can enable you to live 7 years longer. And lifestyle medicine is really the combination of these seven ideas. Obviously, eating good food, eating real food, exercise and movement, restorative sleep, recharging from stress. That's absolutely huge in a world where there's so much busyness and so much noise and so much distraction. Building great relationships are probably the leading indicator of our well-being if you think about loneliness, particularly since the COVID pandemic. Avoiding noxious substances, as you said earlier, particularly things like smoking or drinking too much. And then spending time in health-enhancing environments, getting out in nature. Incredibly good for us. You know, 2 hours in nature over the full 7 days is a brilliant way to build mood, motivation, support more positive mental health, recharge from stress, and can reduce your risk of over 15 chronic health conditions.
You also have a chapter on coffee. Enjoy great coffee. And it's not just about the coffee itself. It's about everything that goes with coffee. It could be a chat. It could be a conversation. It could be a 5 minutes of relaxation.
Mm, absolutely. The sort of the mindful break that coffee cup conversation can give you. And, you know, we're all human beings and we really thrive on the basis of our social connections. But of course, coffee comes from the coffee bean. All beans, whether it's regular beans, coffee beans, even the beans in dark cacao, are antioxidant. They're full of polyphenols. They're full of health-enhancing phytonutrients and phytochemicals. It turns out that drinking coffee more isn't always better. Up to 4 cups a day reduce your risk of stroke by 20%, reduce your risk of heart attack, reduce your risk of many chronic health conditions, particularly type 2 diabetes, may support memory longer term, may support mood. And it's one of those really incredible things that a lot of us take that we believe is actually bad for our health. But as long as you're not ladling with sugar and cream, it'd be really, really good for you.
Move as if your life depended on it.
Yes.
So it's not as if you're being pursued by predators, but what do you mean?
Movement is medicine. Every step counts. You might be a gym bunny and go to the gym 5 or 6 days a week, but if you then spend the rest of your day sitting down, prolonged sitting is a health hazard. Now, something I always do, because I really believe in this idea, Pat, that we can all choose to become more active participants in our own well-being in small, sustainable ways. So anytime I get off an aeroplane, you know the scene. You come around and there's usually two escalators, one on the left, one on the right, and there's a big, wide, inviting stairs in the middle,
Yeah. Empty,
and everyone's queuing for the escalators. And I generally choose to go up the stairs 2 steps at a time as my small little commitment to myself that I can choose that. And that's a very empowering idea. Going up 5 flights of stairs a day will reduce your risk of heart attack by 20%. You know, those small little extra increments of movement can make a huge difference. But it's not just about movement. It's about staying stronger as well. Because if you want to live independently at 90, as I'm sure you do, if you want to still travel when you're 90, if you want to go shopping, do the activities of daily living, you need a strong frame to support you.
The idea that you're going through the airport with your wheelie,
yeah,
and the wheels fall off or break down, that at 90 you should be able to lift that carry-on bag and carry on.
There's no reason why you shouldn't be. But to paraphrase Hemingway, he said aging happens twice. Firstly, it happens really slowly, and then it happens all of a sudden because our cells run out of gas, and basically the mitochondria, the Duracell batteries in our cells, become depleted and they don't work as well. So that's why staying stronger can make such a huge difference. Weight training, lifting weights, it can start at home today if you're listening out there. Get a couple of bags of flour and start lifting them up over your head. Now you're doing strength training. You can get to a gym, join a class, and it can make a huge difference because you're losing 10% of your lean muscle mass every decade just by staying as you are, the status quo.
So your advice to Donald Trump would be get out of that golf buggy and walk.
Absolutely.
He's not going to take
He's
that advice.
He's not going to listen to me.
Now, talk to me about Socrates and what Socrates said about words and which can be used as a food filter.
I love the Stoic philosophers, and, you know, the wisdom leaders of the past can teach us so much. He once said, one of his favourite lines is, you know, don't waste your energy fighting the old, because it's gone. Instead, face the new. Look forward, don't look back. And he did say about words, and words are so incredibly powerful, Pat. What you say and how you say it really does matter. You know, is what you're going to say true? Is it helpful? And is it kind? You know, so you can
they're your filters.
They're your filters, the three filters before you speak. Use those three filters. But you can paraphrase that then to food. Is the food you're going to eat true? In other words, are you eating real food? Are you eating ultra-processed stuff that can really have such a negative impact on your physical and mental health? Is it helpful? Is it going to be health-enhancing? Is it going to help your cells? Is it going to help your brain? Is it going to help your body to be more like the real you? Is it going to support your long-term plan? And is it kind? Is it kind to your body? Is it kind to your mind? And is it kind to the planet as well?
Well, it's a fabulous book. It's called Things Your Future Self Will Thank You For, published by Gill Books, and its author, Dr. Mark Rowe. Thank you very much for joining us in studio today.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.